This forecast looks nice, not just to really start harvest, but to make some good progress. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has that forecast on the way here on the Hat Podcast for this Monday morning, the 16th of September, 2024. Good morning. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the latest Indiana farm news, weather, and markets on the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more by visiting ffbt.com or just swing by your local branch today to talk about your ag operation. In addition to Ryan's forecast, the news is on the way. Farm Bureau is helping find out where the presidential candidates stand on ag issues. And C.J. Miller chats about where gas prices may be headed over the next few months. And we have market analysis with Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. That's all on the way. The news is next here on Hat.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Where Trump and Harris stand on ag issues and saving money on gas. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. For more than 40 years, the American Farm Bureau Federation has asked every presidential candidate for their stance on agricultural issues. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump have provided their answers to the questionnaire, and Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Joby Young says the survey is a key tool for rural Americans.
The presidential election is an opportunity for every American to cast their vote and voice their opinion on the direction they hope the country goes. And for more than 40 years, AFBF has asked every presidential candidate in the general election to provide responses on issues that are likely to impact farmers and ranchers in rural communities. We receive responses and we share those responses unedited so that our members and any interested voter can decide for themselves what they think about the answers that they hear from the presidential candidates.
The survey contains 14 questions and covers a broad array of topics.
Everything from crop insurance to taxes to agricultural labor to sustainability. We also ask questions about regulatory reform, food system resiliency, energy, biotechnology. We got responses from both the Harris and Trump campaigns, and we've taken their answers and we've made them available to view.
To see the questions and answers from the candidates, visit the Farm Bureau website. There's a link on our website, HoosierAgToday.com.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
AAA says you're paying about 31 cents less per gallon to fill up your gas tank than you were a month ago. C.J. Miller reports why you may be saving even more money at the pump in the months ahead.
Gasoline prices likely to continue dropping here as we get into the fall, that is through October, November.
And that's Patrick DeHaan with GasBuddy.com.
Oil prices, the primary culprit. Oil prices have been trading below the $70 barrel mark. That's because of economic concerns, not only in the U.S. as our economy slows down, but overseas in China, where their economy has really been faltering. So it's a sign of a little bit of economic distress. It's not all bad news, but that combined with an increase in U.S. oil production over the last couple of years has pushed gas prices back closer to where they normally would be.
Even though people often say that gas prices get lower during an election season, DeHaan says that's not the case.
This is nothing to do with the election and everything to do with other events that happen every year. That is, the weather gets colder. Americans don't drive as much in the fall. Gas prices fall in the fall every year, regardless if there's an election or not, just as how gas prices go up in the spring. So I suppose if you really wanted to change the narrative, if the election moved to the spring, well, then you'd always see gas prices going up because of the seasonality. Americans start to drive more in the warmer weather.
He adds that gas and diesel prices often go in opposite directions based on the time of year.
Because traditionally gasoline prices are higher in the summer, they fall off in the winter. Diesel prices have been declining, but as we get closer to the start of winter, I do expect diesel will start modestly inching up. That's because diesel and heating oil are essentially the same product, and as you get into colder weather, heating oil demand goes up. So that will eventually cause diesel to go up. When it comes to gas prices, it's all good news for now.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a hot and mostly dry week ahead of us here. Just am not seeing any kind of significant moisture heading toward the eastern Corn Belt. Humidity values are going to remain elevated through most of the week. So, yep, lots of drying. I've had all sorts of folks ask me through the weekend when the next chance of rain is coming. And the answer is not for a while. We do see activity starting to pop up a little bit more frequently in the Great Plains and even upper Midwest. But at this point, everything dies as it hits this very hot, very dry air mass over the eastern Corn Belt. I think we stay dry right on through the weekend. Monday the 23rd, there's a nice low moving through the upper Midwest that actually originated back in the Great Plains again. That eventually triggers a frontal boundary that tries to pass overnight Monday night into Tuesday the 24th. Right now, I'm going to say a quarter to three quarters of an inch possible over 80% of the state. However, the core of air that is here is so dry, I look for most of us to be in the lower end of that range. Immediately behind that front, we dry down Tuesday afternoon, and we stay partly to mostly sunny and dry for Wednesday and even into Thursday. Temperatures are going to be slightly cooler, but not much. That still means well above normal temperatures for the most part here, a good chunk of the 10-day and even 11 to 16-day forecast window. Slight cool down in temperatures up over the upper Midwest and into northern Ontario, but I don't think that trajectory heads this direction. So not a lot of hope for you with regard to moisture. Definitely not anything this week. Early next week at the very, very soonest. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Gains in grains and a sell-off in soybeans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. The final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. I picked that up from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading near the end of the session on Friday. Brian, we end the week with some additional gains in the corn and wheat markets. We'll have you explain that. But first of all, losses in soybeans after a nice move yesterday following the Thursday USDA crop report for September. But about nickel losses on beans as we speak in the middle of the trading session. Some profit taking going into the weekend?
Yeah, I think first of all, I appreciate you having me as always, Andy. I think we've got a mixed bag here as we get into the early stages of harvest, as your listeners know, very early, mainly in the south so far. But some mixed news. I think we're getting some good bean yields in some of the areas in the south, maybe a bit of harvest pressure there, a bit of hedge pressure there sneaking in at the end of the week. We've had a good rally in bean prices too, off those lows seen back in August. And so maybe a little profit taking there. And corn, I think it may be just the opposite from the standpoint of maybe some short covering from the funds. They've held a long position, they've held a short position for a long period of time. And so maybe a little bit of that too. We really haven't gotten into much corn harvest other than the south, as I said a moment ago. So we are starting to see a little bit of export business. Export sales in the latest week were respectable for both corn and beans. For new crop, of course, we're in a new crop year now, more so for beans in the latest week. But we'll start to see if the end user, after this report that came out this week, starts to pursue these markets a bit further. But yeah, I'd say that the beans have just had a real good rally here the last 2-3 weeks after obviously an extended period of decline. So maybe a little bit more profit taking there and maybe a little bit of fun short covering to wrap up the weekend corn.
What about the wheat market? We see some nice gains, and it appears maybe a couple of factors at play, including the Black Sea.
It's dry. They're planting the crops, of course, the 25 crops. They're getting ready to plant the 25 winter wheat crops in Russia, Ukraine, that Black Sea region, as you said a moment ago. It's very dry at the moment. We all know that we don't make a wheat crop in the fall, whether you're in Russia or whether you're in central or southern Indiana, but it's still something that the market is looking at closely here, how important that Black Sea region is to the world wheat market. We're also looking at some dry conditions, Andy, in Argentina. More of the critical month will come up here in October, but it's been an extended period of dryness there. Argentina is a key world exporter of wheat. That'll be something the market watches. I just think that after an very extended period of weakness here, also we're seeing some short covering by the funds there in wheat too, and that's just enough to trigger a little bit of a rebound here as you wrap up the week. And again, at some relatively cheap levels here, the market is showing some signs of life. I don't think we're going to see a lot of interest, at least at the moment, with the crop insurance period wrapping up today, Andy, from the U.S. producer to be excited about planting more acres than a year ago. For example, soft red acres here in the eastern Corn Belt just don't have that incentive that we had a couple years ago, for example, when the crop insurance price was significantly higher than it's going to be this year. It's going to be a little around $6, maybe a little above this year for 25, but that's not what it was a couple years ago. And I believe it was over $8 a couple years ago. So that's another factor that maybe not encouraging more selling, I guess I'd say. So I guess the bottom line, the wheat to me, Andy, is more short covering with a variety of factors, with the dryness, as you said, the Black Sea, dryness in Argentina, and no indication of expansion in acreage here, at least in the U.S.
Bouncing back to the Thursday report from USDA, the September report, U.S. corn yield goes above trade expectations, up a half bushel. Are you surprised about the level of the increase there? And soybeans unchanged, that was pretty much what the trade expected. Is that also what you expected?
You know, it's been variable. I guess I was a little surprised, but not overly surprised, if that makes sense, because we're starting to get some more indications here. Very early yields, needless to say, across the Midwest, but some pretty stout corn yields. As your listeners know, hopefully that'll be the case there as we get things rolling here later this month, of course, into October. But we all know that this growing season started out very good. We got some timely rain. It's been dry, though, a dry finish to the growing season. But maybe, underline maybe, that might be more of an impact on the bean yields when on a pod set and pod fill period during October, as opposed to the grain fill period for corn in August, the critical period being more that pollination period in July, when things were rather cool for the most part, temperature-wise, and we had at least decent moisture in most areas. So, but we'll find out more as you go forward. We just did a little study this morning that there are some indications that although big crops may tend to get bigger over the last 15 or 20 years, the magnitude of that change from one month to the next is not very reliable. In other words, we were half bushel higher this month. It could be a tenth of a bushel next month, or it could be lower. You know, it's just not, we don't have that statistical significance that we had and that confidence that we had at one time. A big crop's getting bigger, but every year is different. I would encourage your listeners, though, to not get too caught up, as it were, in the weeds with that, Andy, and more so focus on what their marketing plan is going to be with these newly harvested bushels. A lot of things to consider there with carry in the market in March futures of nearly 18, 19 cents a bushel. Soybean futures from November to January, 18 and a half cents a bushel. We haven't seen those levels in a few years, so that's one thing to consider. But regardless, marketing plan, flexibility in the marketing plan, defend your balance sheet. I strongly encourage your listeners to consider all those things. And moving forward, it's critical. Every year is different, so this one I'm sure will have some surprises for us down the road.
Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, 7 3/4 higher on December corn. So a nice solid day, 413 3/4, the final number. March, 431.5, a gain of 7 cents. November beans down 4 1/4, 1006.5. Jan also down 4 1/4, 1025 1/4. And strong in the wheat market, December 595 1/4, up 16 3/4. The meats mostly lower. October live cattle 177.57, down 45. October lean hogs 78.37, down 52. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.